Arizona from the 20-yard line.
You're listening to the Casual Sports Show.
Palmer stepping away at first. Palmer extending the play.
Nobody there.
Crosses the field. Larry Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald is going to take it into Green Bay territory.
The show exclusively known as the voice of the Arizona Cardinals fan club, the Bird Gang.
Fitzgerald inside the 30, the 20. Larry Fitzgerald is insane.
Now with your host, Earl Burnett, a.k.a. Casual E.
Bird Gang on three. One, two, three. Bird Gang.
Welcome back into the Casual House, all you wonderful sports fans out there. All you followers and supporters of the KSRN network, and even the newcomers, all of you, welcome into the Casual House. This is our holiday edition. This is our last show of the year edition. Wow. Unbelievable how fast 2020 went by. I'm your host, Earl Burnett. That's my man next door with my brother, Sean McConnell. And man, it's just been a crazy 2020, and it's got a week or so left. Judging by what's behind you, you about to do some Christmas stuff. Finna go do some donating to some people back there, man.
Man, I hit it out of the frame. There's a okay. So obviously, you know, I got like a handful of kids,
yeah.
And so all four grandparents, they all live close and they're all around. So this is the it's like the week before Christmas, the night before Christmas.
This is
all the stuff that can't go under the tree yet because the 2-year-old will open it for everybody. So
it's
hanging out here. Luckily for Facebook, it's out of the frame.
Oh, it's out of the frame. Okay.
But that's just for you.
I can
that's
see it. Okay, my bad. My bad.
Yeah, Facebook.
I don't know. Y'all probably want to see
white bags,
that.
They could be like Christmas, or they could be like, I didn't take out the trash. Who knows? I mean, yeah, I could be looking like the Grinch over here.
You look like you're about
presents.
To go out there and do some donating to everybody in the neighborhood.
I got donating stuff to do, but it's definitely not wrapped this nice, I can tell you that.
Okay. Well, y'all want to join us on Facebook Live, you won't see Sean's little Santa Claus packages. But join us on Facebook Live, and also you can hit us up on our four major outlets on social media. Of course, you know it's Facebook, Instagram, YouTube page, and Twitter. And you can also catch us on the KSRN app. If you have not downloaded it up to this point, go ahead and download it at the website, www.ksrnaz.com, where you can download the Android and iOS app. And if you missed any shows for this whole 2020, we had a good year, 2020 of shows. You can always go back wherever you get your podcast from and go back to the archives and listen to some of the shows, whether it be Spotify, Pandora, Google Play, iTunes, TuneIn, and many, 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 many more that my man over here, the techie guy, has us on everything out there. So wherever you get your podcast, just go ahead and type in KSRN and you will get this show. The show is also sponsored to you by CASA, Court-Appointed Special Advocates. They are indeed special for these kids. They're special because it takes special type of people that do the type of things that it takes to pretty much save a child in the fostering system, whatever it may be. I mean, it takes a special person. And my man, you know, Sean, as you guys already know, he does this on a yearly, you know, this is his family, you know, he fosters. When I can't say foster anymore, that's your family. I'm, you know, that's,
I've retired. Yeah, I retired from the business.
Retired,
I closed the license.
Oh, really?
Four was all we could handle, man.
I heard
everyone's
that.
Got their own room now, and we didn't want to, you know, do it up like three per room. So,
right, yeah,
that's it.
Fostering
four,
kids,
but yeah,
man, that's awesome, though. But if you feel like, if you can feel, you want to feel like a foster parent, but just don't have the means, you know, the housing or anything like that, you can still have the feeling of sponsoring a child in the CASA system, and that way you can get the feel of having a child outside of actually fostering a child. And then, of course, things can change and get you, you know, you might want to actually do that down the line. But if you want to just sponsor a child, go ahead and go to the website for CASA. That's voicesforcasachildren.org, www.voicesforcasachildren.org, and you can go ahead and be a sponsor.
Yeah, and real quick before we move on to that, the foster community needs more than just houses and licensed people to help. There's donations,
right,
donations to group homes. There's tons of things that we can do that need to be done because Arizona is And I always say this, one of the worst when it comes to foster care, has the biggest need.
Wow.
So if you feel at all inclined, you guys definitely can reach out to me or Earl on Facebook, and we will help you get you in the right spot.
Absolutely.
To help someone out.
Absolutely. And now you can hit us on that casual sports hotline. That's 602-563-KSRN. Or like he said, on Facebook, which is pretty much where everybody hits us up anyway, on the social media front, which is where everything is headed. All your home repair and improvement needs, plumbing, painting, electrical, handyman services. My man Sean here probably should have got him to put that the little play set together back there. But no, I'm just kidding. If you can handyman do it yourself, you do it yourself. But these guys are the lowest in town. And if you own property, let's say you own an apartment building, or you own some apartment buildings, some condos or whatever, you need to have those maintained and flipped when tenants move in and out. Customer First Solutions specializes in flipping and turning units. So you want to get everything done with one company and have to bring in the contractor 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 to get everything done. Everybody's stomping on each other and cross-contaminating stuff. And, you know, you bring the floor guys in before the paint guys. I mean, it's all crazy. So if you want to get that done right, go ahead and give Customer First Solutions a call. Not only you as a customer come first, but your home is first priority as well. Give them a call at 480-877-0255. So, man, it is 2020 winding down, bro. So
finally, took all year to get here.
The COVID-19 year, the start of COVID-19 year is almost over, but that doesn't mean, of course, it's going anywhere. But I know for sure one thing, nobody's ever going to forget 2020. I mean, I don't think anybody can forget what we're going through up until this point. I mean, when you think back, what's the most memorable thing of that would always stand out in your mind about 2020 with COVID-19?
COVID-19.
I guess for me, I'm looking at COVID-19 hitting on the scene, like, wow. But for me, it was like all of sports shutting down. That was unheard of. I mean, that's when you knew this thing was really, really serious, when all of sports shut down.
Yeah.
So, but you know, now all the sports wanting to play, they don't care now. It's like, yeah, COVID
what?
Figured
it out, apparently. Yeah, COVID who?
Yeah, COVID who? all these athletes supposed to be in good shape and good health. So they figure nobody's getting to the point where they're hospitalized and dying from this thing. So, hey, let's keep it rolling. And that's where all the sports have gone so far. But let's find out what else we can go into in this world of what's going on in sports.
What's going on? In the casual house.
Well, I'm looking at him watching the Bengals just manhandle him.
I mean, the three hardest games you could argue that they had were the Browns, which at the time were a mess. The Titans was a 3-point win. The Ravens a 4-point win, and then a 5-point win in the division for them. But I mean, short of that, you're going, eh.
There was even one game that Ben, when they won the game, was like, wow, we won? What game was that? That somebody missed the kick or something at the end. He was like, wow, we still won. It's like they don't even know they was at the time they were winning, how they were winning. But now I look at them, they're dinking and dunking and can't even get the ball down the field. I mean, it looks bad.
They might go 11-0 and then lose.
It'd be 11-5.
Five straight, exactly. It's crazy.
But, man, but anyway, the NBA gets underway tomorrow night, which is pretty exciting, I guess, for Suns fans for sure. But, I mean, the NBA overall might not be exciting for one player in the NBA. James Harden, what's going on with this dude, man? What's going on with this dude? Right now, the Houston Rockets are at a breaking point with this dude. And the Miami Heat say, we out. Sorry, this is getting too crazy. We out. We ain't interested no more.
There's a T-Pain song that I would sing to remind you what's wrong with them, but I can't. It's my kids in the room.
I think I can figure that one out.
I think everyone can figure it out. I think that's James Harden's problem. He's got to get out of the club.
Man, let me ask you this, though, when it comes to that type of thing. Do you think guys like that, Harden, all the superstars have way too much power, right?
Of course.
I mean, it's like if you're going to have that power, it's okay to have it. It's because you can go where you want to go, because you can, you know, you can do what you want to do when it comes to that, if you're producing on the court or the field or whatever it is. But you don't come in and control a whole organization. And that's what Harden's been doing with the Rockets for the last 8 years, controlling the whole organization, getting coaches out who he don't want, players he don't want, getting them out. I mean, if you can do all of that, that's way too much power for one dude. Why even have a GM if you can do that? Just let the players run the league.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Where do you see him ending up, man? I mean, I think he'll probably stay in Houston right now, because I don't think everybody wants to deal with this thing up, you know, right now. And then he's going to – it's gonna take way too much to get this dude, right?
It's going to cost a lot. And sometimes I would argue why. But I still think they find a way to get him out. He's going to make it toxic enough that I think he's still going to find a way to get to the Nets. I don't know. He might hold out. I don't know.
But see, guys like that destroy teams that are trying to build themselves. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Like the Nets have been building something to this point. And to get James Harden, you're going to get rid of Dinwiddie, LeVert, all those kids that were in that bubble that balled out for that team. Those guys are going to get shipped out.
Yeah.
I mean,
and that's, like I always say, you always say, like, would you start a franchise with player X or player Y? I wouldn't start a franchise with either of these dudes, and they played on the same team last year, and that's Westbrook and Harden. Exactly. I would not start a team with those guys.
Me either. I'm with you on that. Especially
if it's a one-on-one and I got $100,000 million on the line, it doesn't matter the number, then yeah, I'm picking one of those two dudes, because as far as getting the ball in the hoop, they can do it in spades, but I don't start a team around him, no.
Right. Westbrook looked like he's more happier over there where he is now in Washington, because they know there's no expectation. There's nothing. You can just give him the ball, let him go on his own and do what he wants to do. But when he has a team that has some expectations and is supposed to get over that hump, and they can't gel together, I don't get it. But what was Miami about to give up? I know. I mean, you think about it. If you're going to give Harden, get Harden. You were going to give up that nucleus that got you to a championship last year?
A young nucleus.
Yeah,
I mean,
the young kids like Tyler.
Miami lost Crowder, and they didn't blink an eye, because they have such a young core. They're like, yeah, we're good. We'll just swap out vets.
I'm glad they didn't make that move.
You get interested in Harden, all of a sudden you're going to give up Hero. You're going to give up Hero, everybody.
All those dudes that got you where you were one step away from a championship. And
that was foolish too.
Yeah, that would be foolish if they would have made that trade. I'm glad they stood their ground and got out of that mess. Right now they say there's a couple of teams left, probably Philly and of course the Nets he wants to go to. So we'll see how that goes down. Will the Rockets keep him and just kind of teach him a lesson and make him hold on to the trade deadline?
It might. And that basically, for me, just throws Houston out of the whole playoff equation, which is good news for the Suns. I mean, Houston might sneak into an 8 if they keep Harden down the stretch, but it's such a mess that I think you might as well just rule him out.
How do you think the teammates look at him right now? Because the NBA and sports overall today don't really care about that. They're like, get your money, man. Do what you got to do. And you would think that would be a cancer in the locker room, and as far as a team cohesion and all that stuff would be blown up. I mean, why would this dude wants to come on the court to play with us, but he don't want to play with us?
Yeah. To me, like, obviously there's the whole fan side with the ASU, you know, vibes with him. But then at the other side, like, if I was playing with him, man, I wouldn't want to play with this dude. Are you kidding me?
No, I wouldn't.
No, either, I'm just standing around.
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything. I'm just going to catch the rebound. I mean, Dennis Rodman might love playing with him, but that's about it.
Yeah. Tomorrow night, and we get to see the Suns play the Dallas Mavericks, and we'll talk about that a little bit later if we got a little time. But for right now, we also can talk about the NFL Pro Bowl selection went down, and the Cardinals have Murray, Hopkins, Baker. It's like, wow, that's the new big three on the team.
That's the new.
Yeah, because remember, it's always used to be Fitz, Peterson, and Jones. Or Fitz, Peterson, and maybe one other person would make it. They those guys ain't going to never see another Pro Bowl. But now it's like, man, Murray.
Jones might make one next year.
Oh, yeah, maybe Jones.
He was going for 10.
Murray, Hopkins, and Baker just get used to seeing those guys locked into the Pro Bowl selection. And when
I'm
was the last time?
I'm surprised they gave it to Murray in year two. I'm kind of surprised.
Oh,
he earned that.
He
had that three-game slide where he wasn't running. I'm like, he might miss it that way. I wasn't thinking that was his goal, but
he earned that.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. When was the last time the Cardinals had a quarterback in the dang old Pro Bowl? Was that Warner?
I don't think Carson made one, did he?
No, Carson never made one. No, I know Warner probably made one when he got him the Super Bowl.
Warner made one, and I think him and Larry were on opposite teams because that was when they were doing
the
whole
thing. Oh, they did the flop. Yeah, that's
right.
So. That's
I think
right.
He made one with us. But other than that, like, they might have
Yeah, we got our quarterback in his second year making a Pro Bowl. As a matter of fact, I looked down the list. A lot of these Pro Bowlers got some rookies on it, the Pro Bowlers. So there's a lot of good – the NFL is pretty much okay for the next few years. The Chiefs, Packers, Ravens, and Seahawks led all teams with multiple players from both sides of the ball in this thing. So how did Seahawks get that many people on defense?
Shocker.
And they defense stink.
I think
I seen two safeties on the Seahawks make. I'm like, all right, okay, whatever. Whatever floats your boat, NFL. Pro
I'm trying
boat.
To find the alternates right now because I wanted to see if there's any Cardinal alternates that made it, but –
I don't think so. I think those are the only three that I know for sure made it.
Yeah, they're starters, right? Or are they?
Yeah, I think I know Buddha's a starter. Murray's an alternate, not an alternate, but he's listed as a starter pretty much. But yeah,
where's the alternates? Man, I'll find it. I'll look.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
So yeah, I don't know if we had any alternates, but who do you think would be a Cardinal that could be an alternate that has done something all this year? I mean, you don't.
you want to argue Larry just because, but I mean, you really.
Larry didn't do anything because they snubbed him out of the offense all season.
That's more of the fan service pick,
right?
But the one that actually earned it, like you're saying, was Hassan Reddick for sure.
Right, Reddick probably.
What he's all of a sudden done in what feels like a flash of an eye, because within the first quarter, we were saying, why aren't we using Reddick, right? I mean, that was the thing. I remember being on JB's show saying, you got to throw this guy everywhere. Same with Simmons.
Right.
Once they did that, it was like, this dude's going for 10 sacks.
Man.
And he basically didn't even play four games. Like, it was like he was in there, but he wasn't in there. You know?
Right.
So that's the one I would say that deserves an alternate spot, and that would have been crazy.
Do you foresee the Cardinals keeping Hassan Reddick going forward?
You have to.
You got to, man.
You have to, because look at this. What Golden and Reddick are doing on the edges, which is basically just a track meet at the quarterback now for the last 3 weeks, and it's beautiful to see. Then you throw Jones in there,
right?
And it's not going to matter.
This is why I think guys should just re-up and stay with the same team, because the scheme, the camaraderie with the team, the comfortability that you get with another guy on the side, all that goes out of the window when you go to another team. It's not the same. You can't bring the same thing when you're on a different team. If you're on the same team and can do the same thing you've been doing, being productive, and you add Chandler Jones back to that, man, the pressure they're getting on quarterbacks these last 2 weeks have been amazing. You add Chandler
Incredible.
To that. I mean, three guys have made up the 18 or 19 that Chandler would have gotten, you know, had he been healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, three good guys. I mean, so you keep those same three guys, man. I mean, I want to even see Golden come back. I mean, they got some
so
pretty – they put it together. They're doing a hell of a job.
Put,
I got to give them
Jones
that.
Jones at, like, defensive tackle and just have him jump and just put his arms straight up. I mean, that –
But then
it might
look
against
it,
Hurts.
Right, you look at it. We get pressure like that from Hassan. You get pressure like that from his backups, Golden, and all the rest of it. Then one-on-one, Chandler all day. No more double teams, really?
And the man on fire.
Right.
Gardner.
I hope he's okay, man. I really do. They didn't have an injury report on him yet. But
not yet.
I hope he got off that. That's. I remember on the text, I was like, why is he calling timeout? Why is he calling timeout? And I remember I just saw Gardner bouncing on one leg coming off the field. And they only had 10 people on the field, so he had to call a timeout. So, okay, that makes sense why he called that timeout. But, man, I hope he didn't have no knee injury as far as, like, a season-ending type of thing, because he was just on fire, man.
Yeah,
he was on fire.
A great one.
Yeah. But, anyway, the playoff race is starting to get wild. We talked a little bit about it in the the prep of the show. And right now, let's stand in the NFC because we don't really care about what's going on in the AFC. NFC right now, of course, Green Bay Packers are going to try to force everybody to play in the cold that want to come up there to get past them. You know what, though? I don't think that's going to be a factor this year. I really don't. I think these teams like the Saints have had too many fails. You know what I'm saying? They're going like, you know, we can't let the cold stop us. They're going to go, I mean, and at the same time, the Packers' defense don't seem like that cold weather type stop you can't do anything against us type of defense.
especially in the beginning of the season where they were doing so many good things, right. They just fell off after the first quarter. It's just kind of like, okay, but their offense is so good that they just shoot you out. It doesn't matter.
Right, exactly.
Their defense has to click or else they might exit early.
So can a team like the Cardinals, if they end up playing that team, a team like the Saints, a team like, look at all the NFC teams, the Rams, they could score with the Green Bay Packers. So you just never know, but that cold does play a factor if you just really get in your mind that it's cold, you know, below 9 or below 10, that could get really, you know.
Hey, if it's the Cardinals going to Green Bay, all you got to do is just think of Tempe.
Just
put your mind in Tempe. Your body may not be in Tempe, but put your mind in Tempe, okay? Just think of the mountains with no snow on them, and you'll be fine.
But the state of the West right now, it's the last two games, the West is going to face off. All four teams going to face off. Like, okay, this is it. This is for all the marbles. And I figured it would come down to this. I'm kind of glad it did come down to this. Now we get to see.
Yeah,
there's no dominant team. There's no dominant team in this West. We thought the Rams last week, and what did they just do?
Yeah. And I'm not saying that they're not – I mean, they're dominant in a sense. They're not, like, league dominant, like 15-1 Chiefs dominant.
Exactly.
But they're all better than – I would say, as a whole, the NFC West is better than the rest of the NFC as a whole.
Right.
Like, if you could combine the four NFC West teams' rosters together and, like, all of a sudden take, like, Murray's legs and Garoppolo's, I don't know, girlfriend or something, and then – combine all those assets together, they would beat the rest of the NFC.
When I look at the Seahawks, if I had to choose a team right now that's playing the best football in the West, it would be the Cardinals right now. Because I look at Seattle, if it wasn't for that easy schedule they had coming down the stretch, they probably would be falling off down on a 4 or 5 game losing streak right now because they are playing.
Washington almost had them.
Yeah, they're playing some horrible football. That's supposed to be this big time fiery offense, and Washington almost came back. They got beat by the Eagles the week previous, and Giants. I mean, the week before that, or was it the Eagles? One of those two.
Giants.
Giants. And it's like, man, these teams that shouldn't be hanging with them are holding that offense down.
Yeah, it's like the cook ran out of ingredients.
Right. What's going on with them? If they were playing winning teams, they would be in trouble right now. And so going into the playoffs and they're playing the way they're playing right now, they're vulnerable. They can get taken out easily in the first round by any team, Cardinals included. So I don't know. Seattle, I don't see them as the powerhouse, even though they're gonna end up probably winning this thing on a default this West probably. Because the Rams could be wounded right now because they had their destiny in their own hands. All they had to do was win that Jet game. That probably would have won in the division next week when they beat the Seahawks, if they did.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. This thing's going to get pretty – you know, I was playing that NBA machine – or not NBA, the playoff machine that you be doing.
ESPN.com/NFL/playoff/machine, baby.
Yeah.
Love that thing.
I had it come down to every last one of those teams, Seattle, Rams, and Cardinals at 10-6. And I was like, who would win out in that division if all the three of them tie at 10-6? Well, of course, the Cardinals would definitely beat Seattle out. If we beat this Ram team, of course, we would have to be 10-6. We would have beaten the Rams, right? So we'd be 10-6. Would we overtake the Rams? Could the Cardinals actually win this
It was close, but I think it actually goes technically to the Rams.
Because
I checked that this morning. I was like, they could get up to second. So that is impressive.
Right. That would be impressive to come out here to second seed. So therefore, they would be to have made the playoffs even if it didn't go to the new playoff schedule. They would have been that sixth best team in the East. I mean, in the NFC. So that's possible, man. It could be possible. I think this team can beat the Rams. They just have to play sound football, and they have to play sound football from a coaching standpoint to beat the Rams. More so than the talent, I think it's all mostly coaching. But
the thing with the Rams that kind of scares me more is that Jets loss. They got their late wake up call, which some teams need.
Right.
And I feel like that's actually going to help them. Whereas I don't want to do it in Seattle, but I almost would rather face Seattle if I had to pick between Seattle and the Rams in the playoffs.
Right.
Because Seattle, like you said, they're starting to hit that thing of, oh man, we might need to start rebuilding some things.
I know,
might not
man. Start they changing look, some especially things. On defense.
Been saying
sure.
that for years.
Yeah.
But this is, I think, the year where, like, okay, Arizona's the up and comer, and they got some things. They might be finally clicking late, like you're supposed to.
Right.
And anything can happen at 8-8 if you finish 8-8. I'm just saying, we've seen crazier things happen in red, right? But
right.
I kind of would rather not face the Rams, because Tyler Higbee, man, just he eats us alive. We have got no answer for that. None.
Tyler Higbee and the small, speedy receivers.
Yeah.
Doing the drag routes, crossing the field all day. And we saw that.
Because if it's Seattle, okay, Lockett's going to eat us alive, but at least Metcalf is shut down.
Right, right. But, you know, the key to beating the Rams is something that the Cardinals have not done in the last three to four years, and that's get to Goff. Every time Goff plays us,
yeah,
he has a superstar out of this world type of game, and we get zero pressure on him to make him uncomfortable. If you put this pass rush that we've been doing the last 2 weeks against Jared Goff, oh, he'd be neutralized. He'd be out of it. He'd be done. But can we bring that? That's the whole point. So we'll see. But there's another team behind us creeping on the back. The Chicago Hot Bears right now then got hot on offense, man. What the heck is going on? The NFL is just – It's like a mystery, dude. Just flip a coin. Somebody, anybody, any given Sunday, anybody can beat anybody.
Look, Bears hibernate from time to time. apparently, the Bears hibernated at the wrong time. But now they're better. Now they're feeling better. Look, they're not going to beat Green Bay. I don't even think.
No, but
Aaron Rodgers is taking a nap.
Who is Green Bay's backup? Because that's going to be the key to this day. If they rest Rodgers in that game, can that Green Bay team beat the Bears team with a backup quarterback in that team? No.
I type in Green Bay backup quarterback and Brett Favre shows up. That's not it. That's not correct. That can't be right.
I bet they wish it was Brett Favre, even at 50.
Man, you can't just search a simple thing and get the right answer. I got to look up their whole depth chart.
Yeah. But
I'll get back to you.
Yeah, whoever that backup is he serviceable enough to pull off a win against a Bears team that has a pretty good defense?
Well, what are your thoughts on Tim Boyle?
Who the hell is that?
Exactly. That's the Otherwise, you're looking at Jordan Love.
The way this Hurts thing is going right now. Running quarterbacks and rookies seem to be the going thing right now. So
Love Hurts. Get it, Love.
Love and Hurts. Come on, dude.
I hit the tone and everything. You guys are
crazy. Love Hurts. Oh, man. But anyway, what else we can talk about here? Let's before we get into the full out Cardinal talk. Actually, we don't have anything else. But the Bears' last two games. Jags, and of course we just got through saying Packers. The Jaguars, man, they got the number one pick now.
They're not going to try and win this game.
Jacksonville has the number one pick now.
Trevor Lawrence just fell to them. They're not going to mess that up. That's what they need. They need a dude that doesn't have a weird mustache.
Do you think that game, even though it was the Rams probably just overlooking the Jets and, you know, not focus to come in here to really play a game. But dude, when you look at Sam Darnold's performance in that game, can that be a performance that would make a team say, okay, we won the game. We might have lost Trevor Lawrence, but can we still build on this kid? Is he the future? Can he still be the future for the Jets? What you've seen on that field from Darnold?
Look, man, it's almost a Rosen effect. He's been bounced around so much, and the coaching has been so suspect that, yeah, they've ruined him.
And they're going to do that again. Another coach is coming again. So
they got to find some coach that is in love with restorations, that he watches HGTV and does the restoration hardware and all that stuff.
Right.
Because that's what they need.
Right.
Darnold needs restoration. Man. He needs it in his soul. He needs it in his arm. He needs to get an exorcism out of all those ghosts he's been seeing. Something's got to happen. But they're stuck with him now.
Yeah, they're stuck with him now. Yeah, a bit. But then again, Fields is still the second best quarterback in the draft. So we'll see if that, you know, they might want to get a runner like everybody else is trying to get, the hybrid that can do everything and throw the ball and run around. So maybe that's what they're probably saying. You know what? Worst case scenario, we don't get Trevor Lawrence. Hey, Justin Fields is still just as, maybe not as good, but he has two elements to his game. So he could be another Hurts right now, what Hurts is doing right now. So who knows? But we'll see how that goes down. But the Bears are one game behind. We cannot afford to tie with them, because I did the playoff machine 2 weeks ago. They gave the Cardinals the tiebreaker with the Bears. What changed that?
Bears beating the Vikings, I think.
Oh, yes, you're right. Conference, division wins. Yeah, you're right. Yep. You're right. So then, of course, if we beat the 49ers, I mean, that would put us 3-2 in a division. So, I don't know. Would that be bring us back to the tiebreaker?
But then if you lose the Rams, we're both at 9-7, and the Bears would beat the Packers, who are in their division. So the Bears would win at 9-7 and get in. So if the Bears win against the Jags, you might be doing a little scoreboard watching against that Packers game, because if they don't play Aaron Rodgers and you put out whatever that dude's name is, or Jordan Love, and they get worked by a Bears defense that wants to make the playoffs,
right,
and you lose to the Rams, who may or may not be resting all their guys, we don't know, you might miss out at 9-7.
I got a feeling all these teams going to be playing on that last week. I got a feeling. And at least give us one half of Aaron Rodgers in that game. That should be enough to probably beat the Bears.
Yeah, please. Get a nice 35-0 cushion and then take him out. Please, Green Bay. You owe us.
Exactly. You're listening to the Casual Sports Show. Earl Burnett, Sean McConnell right here on KSRN. We will be right back. We're going to talk Cardinals versus the Philadelphia Eagles, and they just squeaked by. We'll be right back. Stick around.
We're going to take a little break, but we'll be back in.
Welcome back into the Casual House. Bird Gang, it's Cardinals Talk. Right here on KSRM, Earl Burnett, Sean McConnell. Hit us up on our four major outlets. And don't forget to download the mobile app, www.ksrnaz.com. So the Cardinals, when this team plays games like that, they just, man, they give you anxiety to the fullest.
I was shaking, man. I was like, I cannot believe we're about to drop this game to the Eagles. It just had that feel of, we're going to drop this
like
game
that.
To
it
the
did
Eagles.
Feel like that. Yeah, yeah. It felt like that when they stuck on 26 points and started just turning the ball over. But during the game, man, I got to admit something, or, you know, what we do through these games.
Yeah, this is our confessional time. Yeah,
I got to admit. I noticed that when you and I text, and, you know, we so much fans of this team, you know, it's hard to split it up with the, you know, the media and the analyst stuff. But as fans of this team, we are just perfectionists on Sunday.
Oh, we know exactly what the problem is and how to fix it, and why aren't they doing it, and who's the fault and whose problem is it.
When I say perfectionists, we want this team to just be perfect. We don't want them to let nothing, the other team not supposed to score. Not knowing that you're facing another NFL pro football team that's got players getting paid just as much money and doing plays that work, and some plays that beat you that just happen to have to beat you because this is a football game. We want everything that goes wrong. Man, what they doing? They're not doing this right. They're not doing that right. And then after the game, you sit back and look at it and go, damn, they didn't do half bad.
Yeah, the numbers look pretty good.
I am definitely notorious for that, man. I'll just be like, why didn't he do this? And why he didn't do that? And why they can't do this? And why they can't
and
do
I'll,
that?
I'll be mad, and I'll have, like, my phone somewhere because I'm so mad, and I come back to, like, 8 of your texts, and I'm like, yeah, I felt that.
It's just that. Crazy. It's crazy. But that's just the roller coaster ride this team kind of gives you anyway, because – I mean, like I said, the other team gets paid. They're a professional team. They're going to make plays. Teams are going to make plays against you. Teams are, especially when it comes to talented players. You know, a talented player is going to make a play on you. I mean, it's going to happen. But there are some things in the game that the Cardinals can control, those are the things that we get hyped up. You know, we get hyped up on everything, but we should get more hyped up about the things that we can control that we don't control in games. And things like being disciplined at the line of scrimmage, you know, things like tucking the freaking ball away when you're running, Kyler, and, DeAndre Hopkins.
We saw him run.
Both those guys hold the ball out like this. Yep. You know, both the Hopkins.
Big hands,
and,
we get it.
Yeah. I tuck the ball away. So
defenses have bigger heads.
You can control that. You know, catch the ball when it comes to your hands. You can control that. You know, run the proper depth on your routes and everything. Those things you can control. But for the most part, you're going to play another team. They're going to score points, and they're going to do things to get you fooled on defense, and it happens. You know, so it's hard to it's hard to analyze a game and be a fan at the same time. It's so hard. But they got the win, and I love how they got the win. Even though they struggled and gave up a 16-point lead, the defense finished this game for them.
Yeah,
with that same what we talked about, that pass rush. That pass rush finally started to wake up in the end of that game, the last three drives, and start getting pressure on Hurts and start forcing him to throw the ball to places where he was inaccurate and places where they could, you know, break balls up and get him on the ground. So the defense finished this game, and that's what I love about this team is that they're going through that period of learning how to finally get over the hump of being a consistent team. And this is part of it.
Yeah.
This is part of it. And so it's hard though to watch, you know, to watch them continue to do the same things over and over. But the other team is going to put up a fight, and you know, especially in your division. You know,
in this game, there was a lot of the offense setting up the defense for failure. I mean, really, with the fumbles, the interceptions, the turnovers that the defense of Philadelphia was able to force on us, even though some of it was more, I think, self-induced. I mean, anyone on film would have saw what we saw. The ball is just sitting out there in your hand.
Right.
Put a hat on it, exactly. And you're going to get the ball back. Exactly. So all those things set the defense up. There's only so much they can do. But how do you not get ticked off seeing Alshon Jeffrey
come back alive?
Exactly, you know, do exactly what Peterson's being accused of doing.
Right.
It was a 50-50.
He pushed off.
Went both ways, man.
He extended his arms a couple of times, and then the last one they got on Pat was just unfair. I was like, he turned his head completely around, watching the ball and fighting for the ball like a defender's supposed to do, and they called it on him. So I was
and
like, that is jacked
OPI
up.
So obvious. It's yeah.
It was
yeah.
messed up. So he finally started to show some frustration with the refs on that now. Usually Pat is
I would have been ejected if it was.
Yeah, and Pat is usually reserved. He's usually like smiling with the refs and patting them on the butt and saying good call, blah, blah. He was furious with the refs because he can't play his game. It's like he can't do what he wants to do, you know, to help lock a guy down. And Alshon was getting away with the tugging and pushing extending his arm out all day long.
when do you see a big-bodied receiver like Jeffrey get two receptions for 63 yards, longest 39, but have all that field position? Right. It doesn't happen unless it's Julio.
Right,
Jeffrey
exactly.
is not Julio.
Exactly.
He's not. Exactly. Julio's the only dude that has Pat's number fairly.
Right.
Jeffrey did not have a fair matchup, and they let him play around with it.
Well, this
that
is
was
gonna,
to
this
me
is,
that was like the game. Like
this could definitely wake him back up because remember Jeffrey used to be a good receiver.
Good, yes.
And after that drop he had in that playoff game, he hadn't been the same since. So yeah. I think this Jalen Hurts can wake him up and start getting him the ball again, force him to the ball, and that's what it looks like. They're forcing the ball to that guy, and so maybe that'll wake his career back up because he fell off. I mean, he wasn't like fantastic great, but he was a good receiver.
Yeah.
But Patrick plays those big guys really physical and really good, and they didn't let him play physical in that game. They didn't allow it, and I thought that was unfair because like you were saying, Jeffries had his hands all over him in that game. But there's another of course, when you talk about receivers, Hopkins said some things in his press conference that you can do a lot of reading between the lines, the stuff that they're starting to straighten out to becoming a better team. Listen to what he had to say.
We know we could have put those guys away earlier, and that's something that I feel like us as a team, you know, has been dealing with the whole year, you know, keeping it close, keeping games close, and letting teams win that we know, you know, on the field we were better than. But, you know, I'm pretty sure Kyler, you know, if you know him, he holds himself to a high standard to where, you know, he beats himself up, man, on a lot of stuff. And I feel like that's something that we all got to work on, you know, even myself. You know, when I don't get the ball in a crucial situation, just moving on past that and playing the big play. And sometimes I think we might let that kind of stick in our head, you know, going to the next possession and knowing that, you know, all right, man, you know, we letting this team in the game, but we really should be blowing them out. But I think that's, you know, the next step for us, going in, you know, the next game and going in the future of this team, is, you know, kind of having those statement wins and, you know, making it weekly and not, you know, just being, you know, periodic about, you know, how we go about our wins and our games. But, man, we got a good team. And I think that's something that we all know. We came in here in the locker room and, you know, the first thing, you know, we said was, you know, we made it more exciting than it should have been. And I think that's something that, you know, us as a team, you know, once we get past that and take that next step, man, it's going to be hard to beat us, you know, honestly.
Man,
that voice in the locker room is going to get more and more important as the weeks and years go on.
Right.
Because he knows it. He knows what we all know.
Right.
And I know that they're kids now, right? I'm older than some of these guys, with the exception of maybe Larry, right?
Right.
These kids, they've played video games.
Right.
They need to get one thing in their head.
Finish him.
That's it. Finish him. There is nothing else about it. You just straight up go in there
and finish him.
Just like that. Simple.
Yeah, they need to.
I haven't brought the sound bikes back in a while.
I think they're learning how to finish. That's exactly what he's talking about. They're learning how to finish games. At the same time, he said something else that was interesting. Reading between the lines, he said for himself, we sometimes concentrate on putting our head down when I don't get the ball, or he said it. When I don't get the ball, we got to, you know, go away from putting our heads down and sulking over those type of things when you don't get the ball and things don't go your way on the field. So. Once they learn how to play together, and it's not about individual accolades, and they learn how to play together, and he knows his role is he's going to be the go-to guy regardless. But when that team learns how to gel together and stop shooting themselves in the foot, of course, they are going to be a dangerous team to play. They're going to be a team that don't nobody want to face coming down the stretch in this playoff run if they can put this together. Because look at that game that they played against the Philadelphia Eagles. The Cardinals have been turnoverless in the red zone. They had two turnovers in the red zone. They never turned the ball over in the red zone. They had two. You can almost say three, but I'm going to say two. But the three turnovers total, you know, you left 21 points on the board and you scored 33. That would have been a blowout. It should have been a blowout.
Big blowout.
So now, like he's saying, we let teams in. We keep letting teams stay in and we keep letting teams hang around and beat us that we're better than. And that comes from when something don't go their way on the field, they put their heads down. Like Kyler still does that. When somebody's not in the right spot or he does his head drops. If they learn how to just, this is part of the game, don't worry, let's come back, erase that out of your head and come right back and keep playing, that's going to do wonders for this team going forward, especially coming from the top guys from the team. So, I don't know. I mean, I see this team being able to hang with just about any one of these playoff teams right now. They can hang offensively. So, they just need to put it all together, man. And maybe it's going to be next year. Maybe it's going to be next year where they finally start to get their training camps and the OTAs and get it really worked and ironed out. But I wouldn't want to be a team that's facing that team right now if they start clicking.
Yeah, because that career high 406 passing yards in that game for Murray. He didn't have to do much with his legs. He said, you know what, finally, this fourth week in a row, stop talking about my legs. Stop talking about my legs. Talk about my arm right now. 406.
Right.
That's good numbers.
Well, the last three games, they've been doing what they had problems doing previous games before those last three games, and that's starting out fast. They started out fast now the last three games, and that's been a good sign. Although they turned the ball over on that start out, but they still started out fast moving the ball down the field. I've seen this team, and we've all seen
this. And they did it. It felt like every play was a win.
Right,
on that drive.
Right,
every play
exactly.
on that drive was a win, except the last one.
We've seen this team move the ball on just about every team. period in periods of the game. Like, they'll start slow. At some point in the game, they start moving the ball on these teams. If they can do that consistently, and that's got a lot to do with Cliff. It's got a whole lot to do with Cliff.
And yeah.
And as soon as he can start dialing down that college stuff and getting into the meat of NFL football, which is put Kyler under the center, and when you have those third and ones, you don't do a pitch out with three guys right there. You're not going to do that. You're going to man up with the offensive line who's been playing pretty good and just push somebody off of 1 yard and hand the ball off.
Hey, it's not hard. He's done this before. He knows 79 is eligible. 79 is reporting eligible. Exactly. Bring in a sixth lineman and push the dude into the dang pile line
and get him through for 1 yard.
Yes.
All the trickery stuff in the playoffs is going to get us killed. If he doesn't figure this thing out, that trick.
We got to talk about some trickery.
Yeah.
We
trick
talk about
cute
that.
Plays are not going to win you a playoff game. It's
now,
not going to
happen. Was a fourth and two in your own territory, Cardinal fake punt for the first down, was that cute or was that brilliant? Because we ride that line. Cliff being cute, that was brilliant. Cliff being cute, that was brilliant.
But
what are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on that is that fake punt didn't actually come from Cliff. That came from the special teams coach saying, hey, maybe this is a good time. This is the perfect time for this play right now. Because what happened previous to that? The drive stalled. Stalled drives two times in a row, and the Eagles were getting the momentum. They were scoring points.
It was a tie game. Started
tie the game. Now it's like, okay, we got to stop the bleeding. And so now to give them the ball right back and our defense is on their heels, that was a pretty damn good gutsy call.
You just poured gunpowder into the wound.
Plays later, they end up giving the ball right back, but then that field position flipped a little bit for them in that aspect, and they end up getting the ball back. But I like that play call because they were wheeling at the time. It's like Philly was rolling. So we got to do something to stop them, let them know we can, you know, keep a drive alive. But that far in your territory was very suspect, though. But I probably wouldn't have done it, you know, right at the 50, but not at your 20-yard line.
I wouldn't have done it either. That's one of those. And we just ruined the game.
But I like the moment of the game because at that time the defense was tired. They were getting – Philly was working us. And I'm going to tell you, like I said, this all through the whole game, you saw me texting like crazy. This team, Philly, coming in, we knew that Jalen Hurts was a rookie quarterback making his second start. We know he's a running quarterback. We know that he's not going to sit stationary for us to sack him. So why wouldn't you not know that that team's going to come in running screens all day? They are going to come in and run every screen in the book, from wide receiver to bubbles, whatever you name it. They were running it, and we couldn't stop the screen. I'm like, play the screen. That's all they have as an offense. And I could not believe it, but they finally kind of cleaned it up a little bit, and Simmons and them started staying home and getting the edge where they're supposed to get the edges and stop the dang screens. But they were getting gashed, but that was around the time that they were getting gashed in the screen game where they were coming back. They tied the game up. If they had taken the lead in that game, you know the pressure would have got too hot for this team. We probably would have lost that game. So I like that play call just simply because you need momentum. You needed a spark for your team. And, you know, for them dudes to go running down there and getting in front of the camera and all that celebrating didn't make any sense to me. But still, you needed that spark. And it looked like the team kind of woke up a little bit more and got back on track.
Zeke Turner was trying to get into the Pro Bowl. Let's just put it out there.
Special teams, you might be right. That's where we might be missing the alternates. He might be on the dang old Pro Bowl alternate. He could be him or Gardak the way they play. But let's see. I doubt – I don't know because they would have definitely said that if he had been on there. But they only mentioned those three Cardinals that were mentioned. But, yeah, special teams was good in this game. Of course, they were the spark early on in the game when they got the block punt. And, you know, so – and then, of course, the fake punt. So, the special teams – our special teams are pretty good. You know, when they're on point.
That kept the game alive.
Yeah, when they're on point.
Andy Lee was doing a lot in his late
Andy
age.
Lee throwing passes.
Mike Nugent still clutch.
Yeah.
Nugent.
He hit his first 40-yard field goal, mind you.
He's like a Three Musketeers bar. It's all about the Nugent.
Come on, dude. That's Nugent, not Nugent.
Nugent.
That could be the same, I guess. But anyway.
I knew that.
Yeah. He hit his first 40-yard field goal, which kind of tells the door might be shutting on Zane. If he's hitting, if he knocking down 40-something plus 40, that's where Zane was struggling at. That 40 to 49-yarder, he couldn't, you know, consistently hit that. If this dude Nugent is hitting it, you know, automatically.
Yeah, but did the Cardinals pay for the AARP card, or does that just come in the mail? How does that work?
I don't know, dude. I don't know how you get a back injury as a kicker. I mean, what did you do? Would you get hurt at home or something, playing with your kids or something? But how do you get a back injury
Leapfrog.
That's that significant? It has you out week after week after week. No, that's not a back injury. That's called a performance injury. You ain't performing.
There's a monkey on his back. That's
what something. But, yeah, they had three possessions, man, and they could have blew that game open big time. But real quick, I know I got to spend a little time on this probably pretty much the next day or maybe day and a half before the holidays. So I'll come back to the Cardinal game. But just briefly going into that 49ers game, what are your thoughts about that 49ers game? Because playing your division, you know, it doesn't matter what the record is, doesn't matter anything or who's on the team or whatever, you can't overlook your division.
Yeah.
So, and then of course it's a home and a road game for both teams. Well, no, it's a home and a road game for San Francisco. And it's a home game for us, but they're in our home. They're in our house. Our house is their house. So,
right. I mean, the good news is
they're comfortable. They're comfortable. So is that
they're 1-6 at home. And I guess that includes our home that they're sharing, our new tenants, but,
They officially
got eliminated from making the playoffs. So they're going to want to play spoiler. They're not, I think, thrilled that we jumped them
right
in playoff contention.
And they're definitely not thrilled about getting beat by us in game one coming off absolutely. That Super Bowl. So they're going to have some revenge in their heads and their minds.
That defense is still fifth. That defense still ranks fifth. Even with all those injuries, they're still performing at a high level defensively.
That's right. And they still got a good
running
game.
They are allowing 25, but they're only scoring 23. It's kind of flipped. It could be a little bit of a trap game. The Cardinals have to play smart, play safe, and don't play to their level because Nick Mullins is not the answer, and they all know that. It should be a 43-44 takeover in the sense of sack party. And maybe it should be a 44-point game to win. But they have to take care of business. They got to play smart and keep that offense on fire right now because this is where you really turn that oven up going into the playoffs where now you know who you are, you know what you're going to want to do. Forget about the film that's going to be out there and just do your job.
Yeah, I mean, the key is going to come down to we have to stop the run. What did we give up? What did we gave up in this last
117.
Game? 117, but let's take the quarterback out because Mullins ain't going to run around like Hurts run around. But the running backs only got 64 yards.
Yeah.
So that's not bad. And Miles Sanders was a pretty dang good running back. So if we can hold Mostert and all those guys that and the scheme of Kyle Shanahan and how he gets those running games going, how he does, we have to be really, really careful with this game because if they get that running game going, it's going to automatically make Mullins look like a superstar. So
that's fair.
We got to stop the run first and, of course, get that pressure we were getting on the quarterback. You get the pressure on this quarterback, he's going to throw you the ball.
He's going to throw you the ball.
He's going to throw you the ball. So I see the Cardinals being able to win this game, but I just hope they win it in convincing fashion. I don't want them to struggle with the 49ers.
Yeah.
And what I mean by struggle, like just think that you're better than them and know that you're better than them and then don't bring your 100% A game and 100%, you know, all-out performance. You got to go out here. You're trying to make the playoffs, like you said earlier. You're trying to make the playoffs. You got to go all out and just mop this team up and make no question about if you were a playoff team or not. And just go ahead and knock them out.
And I know they're missing Samuel. They're missing Deebo Samuel. I think the Jason Verrett's questionable. Beat up is an understatement with this team. They're missing so many.
I'm hearing they might get Kittle back, though. They might get Kittle back.
They're still, as of right now, obviously it's Monday, things are going to change. He's still on reserve. Obviously, same with Garoppolo. There's a lot of red marked players on here. Ezekiel Ansah's on reserve. They're beat up. So if they can't get any of these guys back for the game, that will help. At least not having Kittle will help.
Right. And if they can get spanked by Andy Dalton and a Cowboys team, then I'm pretty sure the Cardinals offense should come in here and put up a 40 burger on them. pretty much. I don't see that defense stopping our passing game. They might be okay at stopping the run here and there, but Kyler's going to be the key, of course, with his legs, and he's going to be the key. And I love that he's starting to get the idea. He's starting to understand that Hopkins dude is just the dude you just throw the ball over to that area because he's just who he is.
Yeah, I don't think he believed the hype.
I don't think he did either.
And he's a Texas kid. I think you should have believed the hype a long time ago.
Exactly. That dude, if they start to get that rapport the way some of these quarterback duels and receiver quarterback in this league, like a
duo.
Roger.
Yeah,
the duo. I'm sorry. Yeah, good. There you go.
I got you.
Like Rogers, good. Rogers and Adams or Julio.
Nugent and Lee.
Nugent and Lee.
I'm calling him Nugent now because he kicks it. It's just so good down the middle.
Julio Jones and Matt Ryan, you know the duos. If they could get that going, man, it's going to be deadly for some teams. They don't want to come see this team, man. They ain't going to want to see this team because as bad as I thought Aqib Talib was in the broadcast booth, at least he did know the players and he knew the game. He said some things about the game that I thought was pretty interesting. He was like, what are you going to do? You're going to either play man-to-man or you're going to play zone. And if you play zone, Kyler's going to eat you alive. If you play man-to-man, Hop's going to eat you alive. Make your choice.
Yeah.
And it's that simple. It's that simple.
I gotta say this right now. The internet is loving Talib in the booth because when he says Kyler Murray, it sounds like calamari, as in like the squid.
Yeah.
And so now people on Twitter are just taking Kyler Murray's face and replacing it with calamari.
And then when he says Fitzgerald, it's like Fitz got a hyphen in his name. Fitzgerald. He says Larry Fitzgerald.
From calamari. Yeah. What is that?
Larry Fitzgerald. But yeah, that was kind of funny to me. But man, yeah, we out of time, man. And this game coming up Saturday. So The week has changed. So all the regiments and all the routine stuff flips one day. So hopefully that don't get nobody weak-minded and can't come play because it's a dang Saturday. But
don't end up on Can't Get Right, Cardinals. Don't end
please,
up on it.
Please. But I see this. I see us handling that team okay. Even if we do come out and struggle with them for a while, we'll end up doing enough to put them away. I don't think they have enough offense to match us score for score. The only way the Cardinals can lose this game is if they, like we keep saying, take out the shotgun and start blasting their toes off, pretty much. So,
cool.
And that, real quick, Kyler Murray's performance to you, did it feel like a 400 yard performance? Did it feel like a performance that you go, man, that dude balled out? Or does it give you some like, man, there was some stuff in there that wasn't all that good that kind of put it together? It's like a mediocre performance.
Yeah, I feel like that was not his ceiling.
Right, okay.
It wasn't. I mean, there were some drives that were definitely well put together and strung together, but there were some, because I don't go just based off numbers, I go off of field. There were some drives that they were killed.
Right.
There they was got a killed, point. Whether it was play calling or execution, it was killed. And that has to end up landing on the quarterback and coach. So,
right.
Yeah, he could have done a lot better in that
game.
There
was a point in that game where I thought he started to get unraveled. He started to be rattled a little bit. You know, he was erratic with the ball. He was a little shaky and overthrowing guys, you know. But overall, what he did was, you know, he led the team and he did what he had to do. So, I mean, hey, 3 touchdown passes, 1 rushing touchdown, 400 yards. I'll take that any day. Just protect the football like he's supposed to do. If you're going to scramble, tuck the ball. And he loves to leave that thing hanging out there like that. It's like, oh, my goodness, you need to stop that. That's going to get you beat in the playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
But this has been the Casual Sports Show on our normal, usual Monday night, Bird Gang. Appreciate you coming in on Facebook Live. Lots more to cover on this Cardinal game. Cardinals during the week leading into the 49ers game and leading into Cardinals making a playoff berth.
Playoffs?
After so long. How long ago? 5 years? A couple of years? 3 years?
Yeah.
So here we go. And I love that Kyler Murray might be getting his first taste of playoffs. So
playoff.
Hey, going forward, this team, everything looks good on paper and everything looks good, but let's see us perform and get it done. Go Cardinals. And we'll see you next time, Bird Gang. From Earl Burnett, Sean McConnell, peace out. We'll see you next time.